lift them up. I've kind of got a couple of prayer requests I'd like to ask the church to remember also. I talked to the talked to you about a friend of mine, and he was on really close to going out of this world, and he passed away on Monday, and they'll be burying him tomorrow. Pray for that family. His name is Rob Robertson. If you have an opportunity, pull up his obituary in the paper. It is amazing what, and I've known this man for many years. There's a lot of these things he never mentioned to me, but he was involved in a lot of things. But he is a really good man, and so pray for his family. We love them and appreciate them. Debbie and I were down there with them. As a matter of fact, we were down there Sunday after church, and he was kind of comatose, and family was there, and I got down real close to his ear and prayed with him. And it's the last time I got to see him. And also, if you would, be praying for me tomorrow. I'll be doing that funeral down at the National Cemetery at 12:30. Just pray that I'll be able to say something that would help comfort that family. I know where Rob is. I've talked to Rob several times about his salvation. And I know tonight where Rob is. So Rob is good, but we need to try to lift that family up. So be in prayer for them. Anyone else tonight got prayer requests that we need to remember before we go any farther tonight? Yes. 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 Remember that request. Yes, brother.
Kathy Webb. Kathy Webb.
Bless her heart. Kathy Webb, remember that request. Yes, brother.
Remember my oldest brother, Carlos. He lives at Cocoa Beach, and we found out a couple months ago that he has a cancer, the type of cancer that is in his blood, and it's settling in different parts of his body, and he started chemo this week. So remember him.
Yes, remember Arthur's brother. Yes. 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 Remember that request. Yes. 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 Also remember Jan. She was here at church earlier, but she came and told me she's having some real back issues, and she had to leave. So remember her in your prayers also. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Remember Alan, that the Lord would touch his heart. Something be done, something be said in his life. Draw him closer to the Lord. Vacation Bible School coming up, so pray for all those workers and all those children. So remember that. Youth Sunday, that's this coming Sunday morning. You know, I don't know what God's got in store for this coming Sunday, but Debbie and I have been here for two of those Youth Sundays, and I really thoroughly enjoyed it. We've got some youth in this church that you can tell truly love the Lord. So pray for them also. All right. Praise God. Also pray for our pastor. Is he still out on the road? Have you heard from him today? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Pray for Brother Kevin. Lift him up to the Lord. Yes, they've been struggling with some issues, both of them health issues. So remember Bud and Anna. Pray for them. They're our pew partners back there, and we miss them when they're not here. So. So pray for them. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight that we have a God that we can come to, and we know, Lord, that you hear our prayers, and you love it when your children come to you in prayer. And we're coming to you tonight, Lord, not anything for ourselves, but we're praying for these folks that need prayer. We pray, Lord, that you touch each and every one of these requests. There's some of these folks that we don't know. We don't know who these people are, but we know, Father, that you know each and every one of them intimately. And we pray, Father, that you'd be with them and touch them. We know, Father, that you know exactly what they need, and we pray, Father, that you'd just touch them and heal them, give them what they need. And, Father, most of all, we pray that you'd be glorified throughout each and every one of these issues. And, Father, we do pray tonight, Lord, for our pastor. We pray, Lord, that you continue to lift him up, continue to encourage him, continue to give him the word that he needs to give to us. We know, Father, that he is out preaching to others tonight, and we pray, Father, that you're preparing the field ahead of him. And we pray, Father, that they would be people there that would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of his word. And, Father, we, again, just continue to pray for all of these folks that's been lifted up tonight. Be with Rob's family, be with Sally and those girls. And we just pray, Father, that you just comfort them tonight as they are grieving this loss of this loved one. Father, we pray for this service tonight. We pray, Father, that you'd be glorified here. We pray, Father, that the things that's said and done would be to lift you up, put you on high, because we prayed it in the most blessed name of Jesus. Amen. If you got your Bible with you tonight, if you'll turn over to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, we're going to look in chapter 3 and chapter 4. We're going to try our best to be brief tonight. I know that a lot of you are maybe work today. I know there's a few of us here that's retired. Of course, I'm supposed to be retired, but I drove a dump truck all day hauling sand for my son-in-law. So I'm kind of tired in body. But it's always good to come to the house of the Lord and be lifted up. So we'll try to be brief. I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast, and we'll get out of here pretty quick. I'm not going to specifically preach tonight. I just want to, I guess, remind us all of a few things tonight. Sometimes we need a reminder, and the older I get, the more reminders I need. I told Debbie not too long ago, we was watching a movie, and she said, haven't we seen this before? And I said, I don't know. That's one of the greatest things about getting old. You can watch those same movies over and over, and you don't even know what you're watching. So that's a great thing about getting old and losing your memory. So anyway, Galatians chapter 3, I want to start in verse 26. Let's read verses 26 and 27 together. The Bible says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." The title of what I want to talk about tonight is, do you have a family resemblance? Do you have a family resemblance? Now, I heard a story about a family, a couple, that adopted this little boy, this little Asian boy, and he's about 5 or 6 years old. He's Asian. Now, keep that in mind. They went out to a restaurant one night, and this little boy struck up a conversation with another little boy at the next table, and they were sitting there talking like little boys do. And the little boy at the next table says, "You don't look nothing like your mom." And he said, "I know. She's a girl." But most of us have a family resemblance. Now, my wife back there, she has a twin sister. Now, those of you that knew us back in school, like Jean, her and her sister looked a whole lot alike back in school. They look nothing alike today. I would say my wife is the prettiest one, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But my wife is the prettiest one. But most of us have a family resemblance as we go through this world. I mean, I've had people come up to me and, you know, that's got acquainted with me a little bit and say something like, "Well, you must be a Gravit. You sure got ways like them." Or I've had people that know me and my family, and a lot of them, my dad's been gone since 2000, and a lot of them say, you know, you kind of look like your dad from the back or whatever. You know, a lot of us have family resemblances. Debbie and I have two daughters, and they're about a little over four years apart, and a lot of people think that they're twins when they see them together. They look so much alike. Both of them are beautiful. Both of them take after their dad. Not saying anything else. That's all I'm going to say. But most of us have a family resemblance. And our families, you know, our parents and different ones in our families, they want us to not only kind of look like them, but they want us to also hold up the family name. You know, they don't want us to do anything that embarrass the family. So they want us to hold up the family name. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I'm not talking about do you have a family resemblance physically, but do we have a family resemblance spiritually? And I can have this talk on a Wednesday night because typically you got the core of the church, you got people that's saved, you got people that's dedicated to the church, dedicated to the Lord. And again, that's why I'm saying that I just kind of want to give ourselves a refresher course tonight. And that is exactly what I want to talk about tonight is, do we have a family resemblance spiritually to our Heavenly Father? Now, as I read this right here, it kind of reminded me there in chapter 26. You know, there's a lot of people that have the philosophy that, well, we're all children of God. Well, I kind of disagree with that. Every person on the face of the earth is made in God's image, but every person is not a child of God. And it tells us that right here in verse 26. It says, for you are all the children of God. Now, if you stop right there, you'd have to agree with that philosophy that we're all children of God. But the thing of it is, that verse don't stop right there. It says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we acknowledge that we understand that Jesus Christ is God's Son and He sent Him here to die on that cross and He raised Him the third day. When we believe that, then we become a child of God because then we become saved. Then it goes on to say, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I'm going to say this. If you are a Christian, if you've been saved and you have never been baptized, you really need to consider being baptized. Now, I will say this. If you're not baptized, it will not keep you out of heaven. But also, when you read the New Testament, and I think I'm right when I say this. I could be wrong. Y'all read the whole New Testament and come back and tell me if I'm wrong. I think that every single person that they talk about in the New Testament that was saved was also immediately baptized. So Jesus wants us to be baptized because what that represents when we're baptized, when we go down in that water, we're telling the whole world that, number one, we're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we go down in that water, we're telling the whole world that we're burying that old person. And when we come up, we're coming up as a new creature in Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. So as we come up as a new creature in Christ, we take on that family. We are adopted. As a matter of fact, let's read on down. Let's finish this chapter through chapter 3, verse 29, and then go over into chapter 4 and read down through verse 7. It goes on to say in verse 28 of chapter 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And I want to say hallelujah, praise God, right there. Because we live in a nation, it seems like we're being more separated more and more and more. We're separated in all kinds of different classes and races and financial statuses. We're separated in all kinds of different ways. But once we accept Jesus Christ, guess what? There is no upper class and lower class. There's no middle class. There's no classes. We're all in the same one. Every single one of us is just as important to God as the next one. Every single one of us. That's what he's telling us right there in verse 28. He said there's no difference. Woo! It don't matter if the richest person in the world, now it used to be Bill Gates, but I think the guy now that owns, is it Amazon? One of those guys is richer than Bill Gates. It don't matter if that fella is in heaven and we're in heaven, we're equal in God's eyes. He loves that other fella just as much as he loves us. Or he loves us just as much as he loves that other fella. There's no difference. He loves us all. It's just like one of your children. I mean, just like my two daughters. They're both grown, got their own families now. But I love one of them just as much as I do the other one. There's no difference. Debbie and I, ever since they were coming to the world, we have tried our best to make sure that if we did something for one, we did something equal for the other one. So we try our best to not make differences in our children. And that's exactly the way God is to us. He's not going to make a difference. Not going to make a difference. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, in other words, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Woo, that would make every person in this room jump up and shout. Of course, Kevin's already determined we're not a shouting church, so we'll pass on that. But we are heirs according to the promise that God has made. God has made a promise of divine ownership, a promise that we are spiritual heirs in heaven. Folks, if we had just sit and think about that for just a second, we're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about the God that made heaven and earth in 6 days. 6 days. He's been in heaven all of these. He's been in heaven for eternity. He's God always. He's always been. So if he created the heavens and the earth that we know in 6 days, whoo, can you imagine? No, we can't imagine. The Bible says that ear is not heard or eye have not seen the glories that's in heaven. We can't even imagine it. We can't even start to dream it. Your wildest dream, not even close. It's like a nightmare. Debbie and I love to go out west, out in those Rocky Mountains. Sometimes I stand there in awe. You may stand there and there's a mountain up there, and it may be 60 degrees right where you're at. Here's a mountain standing up here, and it's got snow from about halfway up. Maybe there's one of those alpine lakes at the bottom, and the very image of that mountain is down in this lake, and you're just standing there like you're looking at a calendar picture or something. That looks like some kind of dump compared to heaven. The most beautiful thing that we've ever laid eyes on earth is junk in heaven. And the Bible says over in John chapter 14, Jesus himself said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Woo. You got a mansion in heaven. A mansion. Folks, we've been up to that Biltmore Estates up in North Carolina. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I've been in construction for almost 40 years. But when I go in there, I am amazed at that thing. That's like a tar paper shack on the side of a dusty road compared to what's in glory. Woo! And we, folks, think about it. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are an heir. Whew. My goodness. We know there's mansions up there. We know that there's a river crystal clear coming from God's throne. I love to fish, but I get bored real quick. I'll be fishing up there, Brother Gene. Every cast, I catch a monster. Every cast. A tree that's got all manners of fruit on it. My goodness. My brother Rob is up there. Rob Robertson is there. As a matter of fact, I was thinking today what I'd like to say to that family. And one of the things is one of the memories that I have of Brother Rob. He came out to my house several years ago, and he and I went on about a 2-mile hike. And he and I got an opportunity as we were going on that hike. We'd carried us a light lunch, and we'd sit down to eat lunch. And he was going through some difficult things, and I had a few difficult things going on. And we got to sit there out in the middle of God's creation, and we got to kneel down together and pray. That was so special to me. I'll never forget that. And then it wasn't but just a few weeks later, he brought me a gift, and I unwrapped it. And it was an 8x10 picture that he framed it. And at some point in time, he'd gotten behind me. I didn't know he was behind me. And he took a picture of me from behind. And I was walking down the trail. And you could see that trail just going off and look like infinity. And it kind of disappeared off in the distance. And Rob gave that to me. And he said, Brother Ed, I call that picture right there going home. Well, he got to go home before I did. And I told him when he was down there and he was in his hospital bed at his home a couple of months ago, I reminded him of that. And I said, Brother Rob, me and you going to go on another hike one of these days. Amen. And it's going to be way better than the one you and I went on. It's going to be really good. But we are heirs to part of heaven. We are heirs. I'm kind of getting like Kevin. I get sidetracked. I can't even finish what I'm trying to preach. Ooh. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, while before Jesus came, everyone on the face of the earth was under the law. We were under tutors and governors, and we were under the law. But when the fullness of time was come, in other words, when God said, Son, it's time for you to go down there and save my children. When Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross, it says there in verse 4, and made of a woman. You know, Isaiah, he said that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. He prophesied that almost 750 years before Jesus was born. And he said he sent Jesus to redeem them that were under the law. That's all of us. We were under the law before Jesus. That we might receive the adoption. There's that word again. We're adopted into the family. We're part of God's family. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. We're not a servant to the law anymore. We're sons and daughters of the King, part of our family. Then an heir of God through Christ. Folks, we are heirs of God. We're part of the family. Now, the question is do we have a family resemblance? You know, I thought about this when Scott was singing that song. Is the church still church on Monday? When we think about all the things, as Christians, I'm talking about Christians tonight. If you're a Christian, I'm talking to you tonight. If you're not a Christian, you need to be one before you leave here tonight. It's really simple. But I'm talking to you tonight if you're a Christian. Do we have a family resemblance? Are we still part of God's family? Do we show that we're still part of God's? I know we're still part of God's family on Monday, but do we show that we're a part of God's family on Monday? You know, I've been out different places, and I'm sure you have too, and maybe get introduced to somebody, and you talk to them just for a few minutes and immediately say, that person's a Christian. They don't have to tell you they're a Christian. We've got a fellow that we've just hired to do our dirt work and dig our footings, and he puts in our septic tanks and different things, and he's not been doing it for us very long, but as soon as I met that fella, his name's Jeff Conley, he's from up in Dayton. As soon as I met that fella, it didn't take me long to figure out that guy's a Christian. Just that quick. He didn't have to say anything about going to church. He didn't have to say anything about Jesus Christ. I knew quick. And then later on, I found out for sure he was a Christian. Because he acted like part of the family. See what I'm saying? He had a family resemblance because he showed Jesus Christ in his actions. He showed Jesus Christ in the things that he did. He showed the spirit of Jesus Christ. We're called as heirs, as we're adopted in. Folks, when somebody gets adopted, they become part of that family. We are adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ. Do we act that way? Do we embarrass our Father? You know, as I stand behind this pulpit, when I ask those questions, as I studied these words, I asked them to myself way before I got to y'all. And I fail terribly a lot of times. And when we fail, we got to go back to the Father. Say, Lord, forgive me. Restore me. You know, that's the thing about being a Christian. As we go through life and we fail, it's not just like you would be in school and you fail a test and, well, you just keep going. You fail one of God's tests, guess what? You get to take it again somewhere along the line. So just buckle up. Buckle up. But we need to make sure that we don't embarrass our Father, embarrass our family. You realize that as part of Flat Top Independent Church, and we go out and people, maybe our workmates or people that we're acquainted with, and they know that we go to Flat Top Independent Church, and then we get out there and act worse than the worst lost person out there, that also embarrasses the church. And the church belongs to God. So we're God's representatives. We're part of the family. We need to be out doing the things that God has asked us to do. And as a matter of fact, did I say I was going to be brief? God has given us some guidelines. As a matter of fact, in Galatians, if you want to, I got to flip the page in my Bible, but Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. God gives us some guidelines. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. That's the way we should live our lives, by that fruit. You know, if there's a, I don't know about y'all, But if there's a fruit tree out there, it don't have any fruit on it, I can't tell you whether it's an apple tree, a peach tree, a pear tree. They all look alike to me. But when the fruit is on the tree, I can tell you who it belongs or what it is. It's the same way when our fruit shows. The fruit of a Christian, when it shows, people can tell that we're a Christian. They can tell who we belong to. Okay, verse 22, chapter 5, Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and he tells us, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Boy, it just makes you chill out just reading these things. Those are good, aren't they? Love, joy, and peace, and long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, again, if we've been saved, we've been born again, we are Christ's. So this is talking to us. These are the character traits that we all are to have, that we all are to show. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, see, there's the part that most of us overlook. We can't live this life on our own because we are sinful creatures and we live in the flesh. We can't possibly live that kind of life on our own merits, on our own, because, again, we're sinful creatures. He says, if we live in the Spirit, see, we're not Spirit people yet. We've got God's Holy Spirit living in us, but sometimes we override that with the flesh. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if we're up close to God where we are to be, if we're praying, we're reading God's Word, we're attending church, and yes, that's a very important part of it. That's the reason he tells us over in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 10, verse 25, he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. He knows us better than we know ourselves. All those people that you meet out there that says, yes, I'm a Christian, and they don't go to church, they probably hadn't stepped foot in the church in 10 years, how could they ever be living in the Spirit? Because God knows we need corporate worship, and sometimes Sunday can't get here quick enough for me. We need that corporate worship. So if we're praying, we're reading God's Word, we're attending church, we're doing the things that we should be doing, then all the fruits of the Spirit should be oozing out of us. But if we neglect to pray, we neglect to look for God's leadership in our lives, we neglect this Bible right here, we neglect gathering together in a corporate worship, probably not going to see much of the Spirit, going to see a lot of flesh. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of glory, provoking one another, or envying one another. Folks, it's like I said, I just want to remind us. I know that we all probably already know this, but I think sometimes we just need to be reminded. I know I said I'd be brief. I've got 2 pages of notes. I just got through 1 page. So I'm not going to look at the other one, except when we live like the devil, we're embarrassing our family. Yeah, it happens from time to time. But you know, God is gracious and merciful enough to us that if we ask him to forgive us, that he will. Look at we've got a great example of King David in the Bible. He sinned against God. But he also asked God to forgive him of his sins. And then God forgave him, and the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. We got an example of Peter. You know, Peter, he got all blew up one day. He cut a guy's ear off. God forgave him. He denied the Lord three times. God forgave him. So as we live in the flesh, we're a work in progress. But we need to continue to grow in the Lord and not embarrass the Lord. That's all I've got tonight. You know, I know the Wednesday night crowd is usually the backbone of the church, and I know most of us in here are probably saved for many, many years, but Scott, if you'd come and get a song. There's one thing that I've always tried to do in my ministry. If I ever have a chance to speak, I always want to have an invitation time, even though maybe it might even be short, because God never, ever shows me the needs that's in a congregation. So I don't know what you're dealing with. But I do know this, whatever you're dealing with, God has got the answer. God has got the answer. So if you need something from the Lord tonight, I just want to give you an opportunity. If you want to come and bow down before God, bless your Lord. If you want to come and pray, bless him, Lord. If you'll stand to your feet tonight. If you just want to come and pray,